Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So like I talked about with the kids, here in our Lenten journey, we're going to look at what maybe we need to unpack and give up to see what we can put into our lives that maybe we need a little bit more. So each week we're going to be looking at something we need to give up and not food or habits, but some of our traits and in the core of who we are. And so this week we begin with our need for giving up control. And I admit, I started with one that I struggle with. I like to be in control, if you don't know. So how far does this go? Well, a little over a year ago, I had to get an endoscopy. And to get an endoscopy, what did they need to do? But they needed to use anesthesia. And I learned that I did not fully have control of what I was saying or what I was doing when I was coming out of the anesthesia. Okay? We won't repeat any of it because I like my control and I like to control what you know about me. So now, So now December rolls around and it's time to get my gallbladder out. And I'm like, oh, they're going to use anesthesia. And all of a sudden it's like, well, I want to be there with you for surgery. And it's like, ooh, wait, there's anesthesia. I don't know what I'm going to be like after anesthesia. So all of a sudden, there was a big old rule about who was allowed to be first to see me, to judge how I was responding to coming out of the anesthesia before anybody else could see me, because I wanted to make sure I was going to be in control of what I said and what I did and what could potentially be said about my silliness coming out of anesthesia. I like to be in control. I like to drive because then I'm in control. Gallbladder surgery, they said, and I'm going to write you a prescription for pain medication. I said, no, thank you, because I don't like the potential of not having control by what I take. It goes to an extreme sometimes. I'll take pain over potentially not being in control. I don't know where you are in control, but I know where I am in control. And the challenge is, the more I desire and demand control, the less control I'm giving to God. So this morning I want to look at how it is that we're called to give up some of our need for control to be able to replace it with trust in God. And where we go with that is to the wilderness with Jesus. Here Jesus is. He has not started his ministry yet. No sermons, no healings, no miracles, no disciples. Where does he begin at all? But he begins actually at the River Jordan, right? Heads down to the River Jordan and has his cousin John the Baptist baptize him. Says, this is what I need. This is my initiation down into the waters and coming up to receive the Holy Spirit. And we see just that happening. The Holy Spirit coming down and God saying, this is my son, my beloved, who I am proud of, right? And right there, he's identified. Right there, he's marked. Right there, he is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And what does it say? You've had this grand moment in the water and this grand moment with the Holy Spirit. Off to the wilderness to be tested you go. God has a sense of humor sometimes in my mind. But Jesus heads to the wilderness. And what does it say? That he spends 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness fasting. And at the end of it, he was hungry. I love that it notes that he's hungry at the end of it, because I would think I'd feel pretty full after not eating for 40 days, wouldn't you? I know that there's some in here that have participated with us in the 30-hour famine. The 30-hour famine is 30 hours of youth and young adults abstaining from food, drinking only water and juice on an hourly basis. What does it do? It allows your body to get hunger, to feel what true hunger is, not just it's been too long since lunch, I'm hungry for dinner, but what real true hunger feels like for those that are starving around our world. It allows the body to be weakened, which it allows it to open up to spiritual experiences with God when you lose the distraction of food and what comes with it. And it's an incredible journey. But let me tell you, at the end of 30 hours, you are feeling it. Not just your stomach being hungry, your body has no energy to keep moving and doing things, and your mind starts doing crazy things where if you tried to take a basic math test after 30 hours of not eating, you probably wouldn't do as well as you normally would, because the whole of your body starts to be impacted by not having that nutrition. So here's where Jesus is after 40 days, at the weakest possible place his body, mind, and spirit could be. And that's the place that the devil, the tempter, comes in. If there's one opportunity to catch Jesus off guard, if there's one opportunity to get Jesus to slip and sin and fall into his trap, it's going to be here after 40 days of not eating and being in this state of hunger and weakness. So what does he do? He puts him through three tests. The first is simple. The first is logical. The first anybody could fall into. You haven't eaten for 40 days. Your body needs food. You are the Son of God. You have God's power in you. Simply turn a stone into bread and eat, giving your body what it needs. It's logical, isn't it? Feed yourself. We get these temptations every day, it seems. The world is tempting us with logic. The world is tempting us with those basic things that you need. The world is saying, this is who you are, take care of you, even if it's compromising on what you believe. The world is trying, and the world is pretty darn smart, I tell you. It's so easy to slip, especially when we allow ourselves to get into a weakened state by not taking care of ourselves physically, spiritually, or emotionally in the way that we should. We can slip, we can fall, and in those tests we can fail. But look at Jesus. What happens in his state of weakness? What happens when he's needing that food and he's tempted to just make it like that? What does he say? But no. I am to live by the word of God alone. He passes the first test as he's tempted to turn rocks into bread. He trusted God to sustain him instead. He said, God will take care of me. And the devil sees he can't get him on the physical, can't get him on the logical of what his body needs. So he looks to his need for power. And he says, show the power of God. If you're truly God's son, and God says, I will not let harm come to you, throw yourself off the highest part of the temple and let God rescue you. Wouldn't it be so easy to just say, all right, I'll let God show his power. I know God will take care of me and I will let God do it. Again, it's logical. And what comes to the point, but the point of it would be revealing the power of God, which seems good. But again, Jesus says no. He doesn't hurl himself off the temple for power or to prove God, but he trusts in God to be able to show himself where he sees it's needed. So we come to number three. It's all right, number one and number two, they haven't worked. Number three, I show you the whole world. Kingdoms of this world that I have control in. And if you just bow down and worship me, it can all be yours. Take it, right? Who wouldn't want the whole world? Who wouldn't want all that comes with it? But what would it cost him? His loyalty and trust in God and giving it to the tempter, the devil. And Jesus says, one shall not test the Lord. Jesus resists. Jesus resists. Jesus resists. When he could be in control of the situation, when he could control filling his needs, when he could control gaining power, when he could control revealing God, when he could control getting the whole world, he resists and instead trusts God. If we go to the very beginning of the Bible, we see where there were those that couldn't resist quite as well, right? If we go all the way back to Adam and Eve, the same situation. Here they are, totally exposed, literally. And the tempter comes, slithering down the tree, and says, God has one rule, right? Yep, don't eat from that tree. And he tempts them, just like with Jesus. Well, God doesn't want you to eat it, because if you eat it, you will have the full knowledge of God. He tempts them by telling them that God is holding back. He tempts by telling them that they could be self-sustaining, knowing everything that God knows if they just eat from that fruit. It's not God taking care of you. It's God protecting God, right? And what do? They fall into temptation. They fall into the temptation to have the knowledge, to have the power, to have all the control of themselves. But what does Scripture tell us? When we're looking at the difference between control and trust, we look in Proverbs, one of my favorite scriptures, and it's probably my favorite because of this need for control and fighting against it. But Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. What does Proverbs tell us? To resist where Adam and Eve couldn't. To resist having to be in control. To resist needing to be self-sufficient. To resist needing to be our own man or our own woman. To resist needing to have it all. And instead, trusting it all into God's hands. Because that's what God desires of us. When we trust, we open ourselves to the fullness of God. When we trust in God, we open ourselves to the paths that God has for us. When we trust in God, we open ourselves up to be sustained in our wilderness time from the Lord. Because God sustained Jesus through those 40 days. God sustained Jesus through his ministry. God sustained Jesus through his time on the cross to be able to get to the empty tomb and resurrection. And God desires to sustain each one of us. We in this control oftentimes are trying to fill a hole that we find. For Adam and Eve, it was that hole of feeling they needed more knowledge. The devil was trying to find a hole of needing to be physically fed and to have power and control and to capture the world for Jesus. But the reality is, if we really sit and look at it, the hole that's inside of us has one shape, and it's the shape of God. if we're feeling ourselves in need, if we're feeling ourselves lacking, if we feel ourselves thirsting for something and we can't put our finger on it, most likely that need and that hole is God. And that's what this Lenten journey is about, filling ourselves with God, emptying ourselves of this world, emptying ourselves of the excess, emptying ourselves of those things that we clutch as if we desire them more than anything else, and to replace them with God. Less time on the screen and more time in Scripture. Less time on social media, more time in prayer. Less time in indulging ourselves in the goodies, and more time fasting to focus on God. It takes us out of control, and it puts God in control. Seat that God desires in our lives, to care for us, to sustain us, to be the power in us, and to help us to live to our fullest, even in those wilderness days. So I challenge us, as we go from this place, to think about where it is that we are seizing control. What are those things that we hold back from God? What are those things that God could be handling, but we're keeping for ourselves? And how, over these next 40 days, do we relinquish that control and instead trust in the Lord? Will you pray with me? Gracious and most holy God, it is not easy to give things up, especially when there is temptations all around us. Help us to find our strength in you this Lenten season. Help us to find the strength to resist temptation, especially the temptation to have total control of our lives and how we live them. May we work on trusting more in you and to find what it is that you have to sustain us that is superior to anything we can find in this world. May our faith and our life be transformed because of what we relinquish to you and how we allow you to be in the driver's seat. For all of this, we pray in your most holy name, amen.